You'll find our text this morning in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 9. It's good to see these folks sitting on the front row. You know, what an encouragement that is to a preacher. But I was sitting there thinking, in the Old Testament, they called it, I believe, it was Moses' seat. They were always wanting Moses' seat. And it was always the scribes and the Pharisees that was vying for Moses' seat. And they were always up to something, trying to catch Jesus and trying to find fault against him. And so, this morning, I'm going to keep an eye on you guys, just to let you know. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. We'll begin reading in verse number 13. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, verse 13. The Bible says, "This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of a wise man are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good." Father, we thank you this morning for the Word of God. We thank you for your blessings, for the opportunity to come to the house of God to proclaim the Word of God. I pray that you would help us, Lord. You would clear our minds. Father, you would open our hearts to receive your things. God, I pray for those that are hurting in our midst, those that are going through difficult times. They're perhaps discouraged. Father, maybe there's several in here this morning, Father, that's lost, that's never accepted this wisdom, this salvation, the plan of God, the salvation of God. I pray that this would be the morning. Father, you would let them see. You'd open their eyes to the good things of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. King Solomon, we know, wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Many believe he was in the latter years of his life writing this great book. He warns Israel, he warns the people of God not to travel life and travel following after the path of human wisdom, but he exhorts them to walk and to abide and strive after God's wisdom. We know Solomon was an exceedingly wise man. He was so wise, a reputation of being so insightful that he attracted all the kings and all the queens of the world into his court. Solomon surpassed all in wisdom. He was a great man. He was a man that God used. He ruled his people. We know that Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. He wrote the Song of Solomon. He wrote Proverbs and several or few Psalms that he wrote. A great man, a wise man. Ecclesiastes, our book this morning we're taking our text from, it means preacher. And we find the Ecclesiastes, it starts with the words of the preacher, the son of David, the king of Jerusalem. Vanities of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Solomon is giving wise counsel in this book. He warns the people not to follow after and seek after fame and fortune and the things of this world, but to follow after Jesus Christ and God's wisdom. Solomon the king. Solomon, he was the preacher. Solomon was wise above all men. And in our text this morning, the text we just read, I believe Solomon is preaching the gospel well before Jesus Christ ever came to this earth. We find this, it's true. This story that we read about is something that Solomon seen. It was something that Solomon had witnessed and no doubt heard. He tells this story of a poor wise man. We find that this poor wise man did not have fame. He did not have fortune. He did not have riches. He did not have prestige. But he had great wisdom. Proverbs 9:10, the Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding." I want to preach on this morning on the thought, the wisdom of a poor man. The wisdom of a poor man. Solomon sees something, he hears something, and he tells a story of this poor wise man. Some Bible commentators say that this is just a parable, that it's just an opinion, that it's just a tale. But I believe the Bible's true. I believe it's something that Solomon seen under the sun. He had witnessed. It was impressed him. I believe it's an allegory. It's a narrative. It's a story, a true story. Matter of fact, the whole Bible is the story of Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, the Old Testament, New Testament alike, you can find this book is about Jesus Christ. This story this morning is about Jesus Christ. The main character in our text is a poor, wise man. This man must be wise. He must be full of wisdom. He must be full of great knowledge and great insight because he delivered an entire city just by his wisdom. I see number one. This poor wise man was despised. Notice verse 15. "Now there was found in it," in the city, of course, "a poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man." We find Paul, the Apostle Paul, speaks about Jesus. He talks about Jesus being wise and Jesus being full of wisdom. He states that in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, that one in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus, I believe, is a picture of this poor wise man. You mean to tell me that Jesus was a man? Oh yes, he was God incarnate. He robed himself in human flesh. He left the heavens and the portals of glory and came to this earth. Yet, that God, that man, that Son of God was despised. Jesus, who was God, became man. Jesus, who was rich, he became poor for our sakes. Jesus, who was wise beyond measure, humbled himself and became obedient to the death of the cross. Jesus, who reigned and ruled, became a servant. Listen to 2 Corinthians 8:9. The Bible says, "For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for ourselves he became poor, that through his poverty we might be made rich." I want to say this morning, because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became poor, became man, you and I this morning are blessed and are rich in Christ Jesus. Let me say this morning, God becoming man and God becoming poor, the instant you and I received this man, received this Christ, received his grace, we were enriched with the spiritual blessings of Jesus Christ. Ephesians calls them the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul tells the church, "You're so rich in Christ Jesus that his riches, his blessings are not traceable. They're unsearchable. You can't comprehend them. You can't list them. You can't track them down. You can't number them." How rich in Christ this morning if you're saved by the grace of God. Kyla Rowland writes, and she sings the song, "Through all my failings, sweet mercy is mine. Through rough, stormy places, there's grace every time. If blessings were diamonds, I'm rich as a king. God has been so good to me." We see he became poor so you and I could become rich. Jesus, he came to this earth, and during his earthly ministry, he was a poor, wise man. In our text, this poor man, Solomon tells about this wise man. He delivers an entire city from a great king. Yet no one in our text remembers him. No one honors him. No one rewards him. No one even mentions his name. There's no memorial. There's no great honor or rewards. He's forgotten about. He's overlooked. He's underappreciated. He's despised for what he's done. Reminds me of someone else. Isaiah writes of him in Isaiah 53, verse 13:3. He's despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it was ourselves, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Isaiah tells us of one that was going to come, that's going to be beaten, and scourged, and mocked, and bruised, and humiliated, and no one thinks of him. No one regards him. No one honors him. No one considers him worthy, or honorable, or worthy of even to be mentioned. We find he was a poor wise man, dying for me. He died for you. And no one today seems mindful of him. I wonder this morning, are you like the inhabitants of this city? We find in verse 15, he starts out as being a poor wise man. And at the end of verse 15, he was just a poor man. They didn't even remember his wisdom. They didn't even remember his deeds or what he did, how he delivered. Do you remember this morning the price that Jesus paid? The agony he endured? The Son of God becoming the Son of Man so the Son of Men can become the Son of God? Do you remember what the price that he paid? I believe the Inspirations made that song popular. We must not forget. With joy, not regret, how he died on the cross for all men. This city we see, all the men, all the inhabitants within the walls, all the ones, they don't even remember him. They don't even make mention of him. He's despised. He's not remembered. He's not regarded in the city. We find many times he's not regarded. He's not exalted in the church. You know, we'll be celebrating 4th of July here in just a few days. Let me add, he's not remembered in the country. As a whole, Jesus Christ has been rejected from the United States of America. The mention of his name's not tolerated. You cannot, they're trying to expunge him from society. Just this past week, Monday, June the 22nd, the Washington Times published an article that was written by Douglas Ernest. Listen to the headlines, and I quote, Sean King says, Jesus images are a form of white supremacy. They must go. They all should come down. End of quote. I won't bore you with the story or the article, but it says that any mural, any stained glass window, any picture, any statue of Jesus Christ should be torn down because it's a picture of oppression. Let me say this morning, Jesus Christ did not come to oppress, but he came to deliver. We find here that God, I pray, has mercy on America, that he has mercy on his churches, that he has mercy on you and I, that we would remember, that we would repent, and that we would return to our first love, because this was a poor, wise man. Let me say this morning, let's meditate on him. Let me say this morning, let's consider him. Let me say this morning, let's declare him. Let me say this morning, let's profess him. Let me say this morning, let's exalt him. Let me say this morning, let's uplift him. Let's say this morning, let's remember him. If they want to curse him, I want to bless him. If they want to tear him down, I want to lift him up. If they want to hate him, Brother Randy, I want to love him more. The poor wise man. He's not remembered. He's not regarded. I want to say this morning, Jesus Christ is this poor, wise man. Get him praise this morning. Bless his name. Bless his name. Amen. Bless his holy name. Verse number 15. We find he's a poor man. He's despised. He's rejected. He's not remembered. I see number two, this poor man, though he came to deliver. We find, it says, there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. This city. It's a small city. It's a town, but it has the idea of encompassing everyone. What he's saying, and in this small city, in this small town, everyone that was involved was delivered. All the inhabitants, all the residents, everyone. He didn't leave anyone out. And just like Jesus Christ, this poor wise man, he came and he delivered the city. Jesus died for everyone. Solomon tells of this poor wise man how he saved the little city. The word little, it's the idea of least. It's the idea of the smallest. It's the idea of the youngest. It doesn't name the place. It doesn't give the geographical location. It doesn't name the inhabitants. It was an insignificant place with a bunch of nobodies in it. But yet, there was one poor wise man, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Do you see Jesus in our text? 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. It says, and He, that's Jesus, is a propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world, everyone. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, but as some men count slackness, but as long suffering, and to us we're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It was a little town, a small town, an insignificant town, the lowest, the least, yet everyone in the city was delivered by His wisdom. You may be here this morning and you say, preacher, I'm insignificant. I'm too small in value. I have nothing to offer God. I've went too far in sin. I have no talent. I cannot be used. I'm too young or I'm too small. Let me say this, friend. Jesus Christ is the very one that came to deliver you. I thank God this morning. He's a friend to the sinners and publicans. He's a friend to those that are hurting. He's a friend to those that are helpless. He's a friend to those that are hopeless. He's a friend to the lowest, to the least, to the greatest, to the friend to everyone. In Mark chapter 2, verse number 9, He says that I came to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus came to deliver. Many of you come to church this morning needing something. Hurting. Needing encouragement, needing a touch from God, needing a word from God, He came to deliver. How did He deliver? He delivered this poor wise man in our text, delivered this city by His wisdom, by His skill. It's by His wit, by His understanding. The word is discernment. We find the poor wise man was despised. We find He came to deliver. Number three, we find the discernment of this poor wise man. His wisdom was displayed. The text tells us he delivered by His wisdom, by His wit, by His intelligence, by his discernment. And later on in our text, we find this wisdom is greater than strength. Verse 16. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor wise man's wisdom is despised, and his words not heard. Our text does not tell us how this poor wise man delivered the city. By what works, by what means, by what plan he delivered the city. But whatever it was, it must have been awful wise, because it delivered the city from a great king, a mighty king, a powerful king, a prince of the world, a type of Satan himself. Can you imagine the shock? Do you see the picture? Do you see the typology of this poor wise man? We must ask ourselves, well, if this poor wise man in Solomon's text delivers the city from a great king, what wisdom did Jesus, our Savior, deliver us? By what means, by what discernment did He deliver us? May I add this morning, I believe it was the cross. You say, preacher, the cross being wise, the cross being the intellect, the intelligence, the discernment of Christ. Paul says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. He's saying for the world, to the lost world, to the unbelievers, to the humanists, the cross is foolishness. It's absurd. It's nothing but folly. It's nothing but a fairy tale. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The cross to God, the cross to you and I, it's His power. We'll see in a minute. It's His wisdom. Listen to 1 Corinthians. Paul goes on, chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. He said, but we preach Christ crucified. That's the cross. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks, that's the Gentiles, you and I, foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ being crucified, Christ being mocked and shamed, hanging between heaven and earth, is merely the wisdom of God. Solomon does not tell us how this poor wise man delivered the city. It was by his wisdom. It wasn't by his swords. It wasn't by force of the day. It wasn't by the armies of the day. Nor did Jesus Christ by Peter's sword. Nor did Jesus Christ by those 12 legions of angels. Nor did Jesus Christ by the host of heaven save you us and deliver us. He redeemed us by His wisdom. By hanging on the cross between heaven and earth, being fastened to that wooden beams with nails in His hands and nails in His feet, by bleeding in pain and agony for everyone to see, was nothing more than the wisdom of God on display. The poor wise man, by his wisdom, delivered the city and everyone within it. A great king besieged it. A great king circled it, encompassed it. A great king, it says, built great bulwarks. He laid snares and he laid traps and he laid a stronghold on the city. But by one man, by one poor man, by the wisdom of this poor man, he delivered the city. This great king means mighty. It's a powerful, an important, a large, a exalted king. We know the Bible tells us about Satan, it's the prince and the power of the air. Can you imagine his shock? Do you see his surprise when he's laid hold of this city? But there was one lowly man that defeated him. I'm preaching on the discernment of the poor wise man. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. First Corinthians chapter number 2. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. In chapter 1, chapter 2, he's speaking about preaching of the cross, proclaiming the cross, the power of the cross, the wisdom of the cross. He's telling the church, I did not come to preach with enticing words, but I came in preaching in demonstration of spirit and with power. And let me say this morning, when a group stands up to sing, it's not well how they harmonize or not how well they sing or how many notes their voices hit, but it's the power and the demonstration of Christ. When the preacher stands up to preach, it's not how well he orates or how well he outlines a message or how great of a speaker, but it's the power and the demonstration of Christ. Paul said, I come preaching, not with enticing words. That's the wisdom of man, but with demonstration of power. Verse number 7, chapter 2. He said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Paul saying, I come speaking the wisdom of God, which is a mystery. Mysterion. It means a hidden purpose. It means a hidden plan. It means not obvious for those to understand or to comprehend. I want to say this morning, God had a hidden purpose. He had a hidden plan. You see, it's God's mystery, it's God's wisdom. It was hidden, and the Bible says, we've read, ordained before the world. His plan was wisdom, full of wisdom. Before the foundation of the world, God had a plan. Before He measured and hollowed the waters in the hollow of His hand, before He created the mountains, the majestic scenery, man, before He created the sun, the moon, and the stars, God had a plan. And let me say this morning, God's plan is still right on time. His plan is still in order. His plan is still working. There's no civil unrest. There's nothing that a civil government, there's nothing that the powers of hell can do about this plan. It's still rolling. It's still right on time. And it may look dark and gloomy. And it may look be getting worse and worse and more wicked and ungodly and evil. But I'm glad when it's all said and done that Jesus Christ, this poor wise man, He'll be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Before the foundation of the world, there was wisdom in God's plan. A hidden plan, we read. It's a mystery. Wisdom in this plan. I don't see number two, there's wisdom in His providence. We read that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. The providence of God is wisdom. The plan of God is wisdom. I've heard many say that the providence of God is God's intervention in our lives. Some defined it as God's governance in our lives by means which He accomplishes His will. Some say it's God, how He directs and guides us in this life. But let me say this morning, God's wisdom is just God working behind the scenes. Just because we can't see Him doesn't mean that He's not there. Just because many times you can't hear Him doesn't mean that He's not there. Just many times in your life when you can't feel Him and He feels like He's nowhere to be found does not mean that He's not there. Your entire Bible, you see God working behind the scenes. I think of Abraham. Abraham, he's taking his son Isaac up Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son, to lay down his son to a love offering to God. And as they were walking up one side of the mountain, God had a ram walking up the other. You see, God was working behind the scenes. I think of Moses, how Moses set in that ark and he's floating down the Nile River, Alligator Alley. He was raised in Egypt, educated in Egypt. He was taught in Egypt. Now he's exiled as a shepherd on the backside of nowhere. But all the time, God's working behind the scenes. Joseph, he was sold into slavery, put in a pit, given to Potter, put into prison. Yet all the time, the butler didn't understand it. The baker didn't understand it. Potiphar didn't understand it. His brothers didn't understand it. Potiphar's wife didn't understand it. But God was working behind the scenes. You come to the book of Esther. Haman wants to annihilate God's people. The Jewish race to be gone. He's building gallows. He's building to hang Mordecai. But God was working behind the scenes. But there's nowhere in the Bible you find God working behind the scenes than at the cross of Calvary. You see, His providence is wisdom. We find it as He was crucified, as Jesus was dying and delivering us on the cross. Pilate didn't understand it. Judas Iscariot didn't understand it. The chief priests and the scribes and the elders didn't understand it. The Roman soldiers didn't understand it. His very disciples didn't understand it. Satan himself didn't understand it. But all the while, God was working behind the scenes. You see, it's a mystery. It's a hidden plan. It's hidden wisdom, a hidden purpose, the providence of God. Listen to verse number 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. You see, they did not understand this poor wise man's wisdom as he's dying and shedding his blood and giving up the ghost for you and I. Because if they had understood his wisdom, it says they'd have never crucified the Lord of glory. The wisdom of one poor wise man we find in our text back over in Ecclesiastes. He's despised. We find that he's come to deliver. We find he's the discernment of this poor wise man. But we also find the detecting of this wisdom of a poor wise man. There needs to be some detecting. Verse 17 in closing. It says, the words of a wise man are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. He said these words, this wisdom of this one poor wise man is heard in the quiet. Because wisdom is superior, they should be heard above the shouts of all fools. Verse 16, it says the words and his words are not heard. What Solomon is doing, he tells this story of a poor wise man that delivers a city, that defeats a great king, that no one remembers him, that no one honors him, that no one respects him, that they forgot about him, but it indicates after this he kept speaking, he kept teaching, he kept talking, but no one hears his words. Reminds me that even after the cross, after our Savior defeating the old king Satan, and how he continues to speak and to draw and compel through his precious word, no one's listening. No one's remembering. No one's heeding. No one's responding. No one's hearing. And it says if no one even cares, no wonder Amos said that God's going to send a famine. And it won't be a famine of bread. And it won't be a famine of water. But it's going to be a famine of hearing the words of God. But listen to who's sending this famine. It's God sending the famine. You wonder, could that be the wisdom of God? That's where we're at today. Solomon tells a gospel story in Ecclesiastes number 9. He tells of this poor wise man that came. He tells this poor wise man that was despised, that defeated a great king, that delivered everyone, that was rejected. He's forgotten about. He continued to speak today that no one's listening, that no one cares. But I'm glad it doesn't end there. He talks about this wisdom can be heard in the quiet. The word quiet, it means rest. This word, it means to lower. It means to decrease. It means to be put down. I believe we can hear him speak when God convicts us. It's a picture of conviction. We see the plan of salvation. We see his deliverance. Everyone in the city was delivered. He defeated the king. Everyone's rejected. No one cares. No one listens. But in the quiet, when he humbles you, when he decreases you, when he lowers you, you can hear him speak. I wonder this morning, do you hear him speak? Is he speaking to your heart? Is he calling your name? Maybe for salvation. Maybe to come and to call upon this poor wise man, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Maybe he's calling you to come and ask for a closer walk. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow. Follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him, all the way. He will give you grace and glory. He will give you grace and glory. He will give you grace and glory. Go with Him. Go with Him all the way. Let's stand this morning. Do you hear Him speak in the quiet? Is He speaking to your heart? Solomon tells a gospel story some years before the cross of a poor wise man that delivered the city. Father, we want to thank You this morning for the Word of God. We thank You, Father, for this poor wise man that came and delivered, that came and defeated Satan, that came and purchased redemption for our soul. Father, we want to ask Your forgiveness for when we don't respond, when we don't hear, when we don't heed the warnings, the words, the Word of God. Father, I ask this morning as You speak to Your people, God, as You talk, and Father, as You lead and guide and direct, that Father, we would say, yes, Lord, it's me, Lord, I'm here, Lord. Father, we need You more than ever. This country, our community, our church, our families, us as individuals, Father, we need You more than ever. Forgive us, Father, when we've forgotten, when we've despised, when we've rejected, when we've failed to heed Your warnings. God, I love You and I thank You for all You're going to do for us. I bless Your holy name, for You are worthy to be remembered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whatever your need is this morning, this altar is open. If He's speaking, please respond.
My greatest honor. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer. He answers prayer.
God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, we serve a good God. Let's not forget Him. Let's remember Him. Let's praise Him and thank Him for all He's done for us. All hearts and minds clear.
Just thankful for the Lord for saving me. I'm thankful for that glimpse of hope, that hope He gives us. Appreciate that message this morning, brother. I was sitting there praying. The Lord says, I want you to get up there and I want you to tell these people that I'm going to stand with Jesus. And He says to ask you, are you going to stand with Jesus?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm going to stand with Jesus this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Share one thing that the Lord shared with me a couple weeks ago, and it's just been breathing in my soul ever since. I forgot what we were discussing, but there was something, and of course, these times are just so pressing. And God just whispered to me that sweet small spirit, but that doesn't change your position in me.
That's right.
That doesn't change your position in me. It doesn't matter what this world brings, it doesn't matter what any person or principality or power comes against you. That doesn't change your position in Christ Jesus. The victory is ours through His precious name. And if we give Him praise, honor, and glory in and through all things, because that is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Amen. Amen.
Father, we love You today. I'm glad that You're there. At the midnight hour, God, You're there. God, if you get woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, You're there.
Oh, yes.
And I thank You for that. I thank You for the message we've heard today. It's touched our heart. The song that we just heard, thanking You and praising Your name. And the testimony. And I pray, God, as we leave this place today, God, that we'll not forget what You've done for us. God, we want to go forward for You. We want to exalt Your name above everything. God, we'll take a stand for you no matter where the devil throws things at us. But I'm glad that you're beside of us. Our trust is in you. We can't do it by ourselves. But boy, I know one that can. And I pray and honor your name today for saving our soul. And God, that you're in control. This is not taking you by surprise. You know, God, what's going to take place. And I want to trust you today. And God, if there's one lost in this building or maybe someone that's heard this message today, if they've not accepted you, God, I pray that they will. We love and honor your name today in everything we do. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.